For those of you who don't know me, my name is Susan Sharma Exelby, but a lot of people know me as Sue X, or Hong Kong Sue, or China Sue, because there are a lot of Sues in River Church. Who would like an encouragement this morning? Anybody? Oh, yes. Good. Because when I was planning my trip back to River Church, I said to God, well, what should be the emphasis this time? And he said, go and bring encouragement. So that's what I've been doing.
Very good.
So, if you need encouragement, I've got something for you this morning.
Great.
Now this message, the title of this message is Keeping It Simple. Right? Keeping it simple. Because often we make it far too complicated. And you know, I often say to people, as a missionary, I've only got one message. And in fact, I can sum it up in one word. It's Jesus. That's it. I have nothing else to offer except him. But he has everything that you need. He is the source of all good things. If you need favor, if you need provision, if you need healing, if you need anything that is good and godly, then your source is Jesus Christ and him alone. And when we try to add anything to him, we are taking away from who he is. So this morning, I'm just going to talk about Jesus. He is our lovely Saviour. You know, being British English, some people find it strange the way I use the word lovely. Oh, it's lovely. And I work with lots of Filipina girls and Indonesians, and we're all talking in our second or our third language. And sometimes the nuances and the specificness of your own language has to sort of fade away, and you have to say things very simply and very clearly. Otherwise, there are misunderstandings. And who knows, with communication, if you've got the same language, it's difficult enough sometimes. But when you're then talking in a foreign language, and all the things that can go wrong with translation, you've got to be very, very clear in what you're saying. So I don't use big fancy words. And even when I'm doing Bible studies, it has to be really clear and really straightforward. So although theology is great and we need to understand the depth of the things that God puts in God's word, and I will sometimes look up the Hebrew and the Greek and find out, Lord, what are you saying with that one word? How can that feed my spirit? If we don't know Jesus, then all of that is immaterial. Now, that's not to say that I don't value it, but if you do not have a revelation of who God is and how much he loves you, it doesn't matter how much you study his word, you will not get a revelation that way. You have to come in as a child. That's what Jesus says. He says, come to me like a little child. Who here is a parent or a grandparent?
Yeah.
Or an auntie? You've been around little children. When you say to a very small child something, they believe you, don't they? They don't question it. If you say, that flag over there, that flag's blue. That flag is blue. To a two-year-old, they'll look at it, okay, that flag's blue. The flag is red. But they believe you because they don't know anything else. Well, God says, when you come to me as a little child, and I say something to you, and I've written it all down so you don't forget it, when I do that, believe it. Just as a little child would. And when we make it that simple, it's wonderful, because we don't complicate it with intellectualism, and we don't complicate it with the things that the world says is important. We get right down to the very basic things. You know, we are still in the world, even when we have relationship with Jesus. And the world will tell us things that are lies, that are not true for us, because we are in a different kingdom. We live here, we're surrounded by the physical world, but we are spiritual beings. That's our true self. You know, three parts. And the world will say the body is the important thing, what you look like, what you wear, where you live. And then the second part, our soul, our mind, our intellectual capacity, how you think, and your emotions. How do you feel today? That's really important. You've got to put such an emphasis on your feelings that if you don't feel like doing it, then don't bother. And God says, although I have made those two parts of you, they are not the top in this hierarchy. You turn that upside down and you put the spirit, the part that the world says does not even exist, and you put the spirit at the top. And when you do that, out of your spirit will overflow such life that it will affect your soul and it will affect your body. But if you try to put them above your spirit, you're never going to get the successful, victorious Christian life that Jesus said we can all live in, all of the time. One of the testimonies that I've been talking about while I've been here, I'm going to say it again today, so I apologize if some of you may have already heard this, but it's a very clear indication of it's not what we know, it's who we know that matters. And as Florence has been saying, we've had the wonderful privilege of many healings, physical and emotional, in our work in China and Hong Kong. And it's come out of my own desire to know that aspect of my salvation. I personally have a testimony that I did write about recently, so you may know part of that. But I have been both physically and mentally very, very sick in my life. And if it had not been for Jesus' supernatural intervention, then I would be face to face with him in heaven now, which is not a bad thing. But my course in life, my destiny, had not finished yet. And if I had gone to be with the Lord then, it would have been too soon. So I know from personal experience what it is to walk that kind of road. And God said to me when I came through it, now you've understood some of these things. Don't keep that to yourself. Pass it on. Give it away. And so that's what we've been doing. One of the things that happened very recently, just a couple of weeks before I came back to England, was one of the Indonesian ladies, who is Muslim, came to me and said, my father has been taken into hospital. He's in a coma. Can you do anything to help? Now, in Indonesia, they have to pay for all their medical expenses. So I think really what she was asking me was, have you got any money that you can give me? And I said to her, I don't have money, but what I have, I will give you. And I've got Jesus. And she looked at me and she said, can your God help? And I said, with all my faith, yes. My God can do something about your situation. Okay, Lord, you back up my words. So we prayed for her father, bearing in mind he is in Indonesia and doesn't even know he's being prayed for. And his daughter is a Muslim. And I said to her, we will pray in Jesus' name. I want you to be aware this is what we're doing. Will you give me permission to do that? And she said, yes. The prayer was very simple and very short. And the way I describe it is, the shorter your prayers are, the more faith you're using. Right? Because God doesn't need a lot of words. He just needs to hear your faith. And we don't have to worry about Do I have big faith? Do I have little faith? God says, to get saved, you have to have faith. And that's not from yourself. I gave it to you as a gift. So the faith that we have is Jesus' faith. And his faith is not too small or too weak. And he describes it in this way. He says, imagine a mustard seed. If you have mustard seed size faith, you can move mountains. And I say, Lord, I don't want to move a mountain. I want to see the sick healed. And he says, that's okay. Mustard seed faith does that too. Right? So we prayed for this man using the faith, not worrying about how much we had, but simply saying, how much am I using? And that is an important question to ask yourself. It's not where can I get more, it's how can I use more of what I've already got. Right? So when you do that, you get rid of your unbelief, you get rid of your doubt. There are many ways you can do that. When you do that, it's like taking a lid off your faith so it can bubble up and come out of your mouth. And when that happens, miracles occur. When that happens, the physical world changes to line up with the Word of God. Reality changes so that it comes into line with what God said is possible for us. We are, if you are a born again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ, we are the most powerful people on earth. Now, why do I say that? I say that not only because my body is a temple of his Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is the one that used the power to raise Jesus Christ out of the grave and back to life again, and then took him as a glorified Saviour into heaven. But Jesus says in John 14, he says, me and the Father and I, will come and make our home in you. Jesus and the Father make their home. Do you know what a home is? A home is not somewhere you go and stay for 2 weeks. A home is a permanent residence. That's what a home is. That's why we're powerful people. We just don't realize it, do we? We have all this potential within our spirit, and we just don't use it. And we wander about looking like the world, speaking like the world, thinking like the world, getting the world's results and saying, I don't understand, Lord. I was like that for years. And God says, stop thinking like the world. Stop behaving like the world. Stop looking like the world. Step into your inheritance. Step into your destiny and be different. We should step into a room and people think, what just happened? Something changed. Because it does, you know. But if we don't realize it, we don't use that ability that makes us bold and say, hello, I think God's just said something about you and I think he wants to say to you. And we speak out someone's destiny. And people say, how did you know that? I said, well, actually, I think God wants to say to you that he really, really loves you. And he's got a perfect plan for your life. And if you choose, you can step into that right now. Those are the things that we can say to people without feeling self-conscious, without thinking, they might reject me, Lord. Because God says, if they do, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And with the Apostle Paul, we can say, we count it all joy. Because to be rejected because of the Lord is part of true persecution. And when that happens, he says, my grace is sufficient. Right? And he strengthens you. And I've been in situations, you know, you have to be sensitive to people, to where they're at. You don't go in and beat them over the head. But I've been in situations where you feel Holy Spirit lead you to say something or to do something, to show love, and the response you get is not the response you want. And God said, that's okay. Just remember, you are Jesus with skin on. Right? Everything he is, you have. In Ephesians 2 verse 13 it says, but now in Christ. I love that. Four words. Changed my life, that did. But now, it's like, forget the past. That's gone. That's finished. But now in Christ. And that's where we are. We are in him. Everything he is, we have. Okay, let's get back to the story, the testimony. Remember the Indonesian lady? Father is in hospital in a coma. So the short prayer was, wake up in Jesus' name. Be strengthened in your body in the name of Jesus. And the picture in my head was Jesus. When he raised Peter's mother-in-law, it says he took her by the hand and she got up and she was able to go about her normal business. And that's the picture I had for this man. 2 hours later, the lady, the daughter, gets a phone call all the way from Indonesia from a relative that said, we have some news about your father. And she said, oh yes, what is it? He's opened his eyes. When did that happen? 2 hours ago. I said to her, I want you to have conversation with your father and explain to him Jesus healed him. And she was able to do. The following day she spoke to him and said, Father, my friends in Hong Kong prayed for you, but they didn't pray to Allah. They prayed in the name of Jesus, Isa, and he healed you. She's still a Muslim. She's using Jesus' name. How precious is that? And he said to her, daughter, I recognize something supernatural happened to me. I feel more strength in my body than I have for many years. Remember, that was part of the prayer. I recognize that Jesus has healed me. So I said to the lady, to the daughter, so do you want to know Jesus now, personally? And she said, no, thank you. But a few days later, she came back and she said, I've been thinking what happened with my family and how my father has changed and what you've spoken about. And if what you've said is true, that God loves me, and Jesus really did what he did for me so that I can be free of all the bad stuff, then yes, I want to know him. And she became a born-again, spirit-filled follower of Jesus. Now, that's not the end of the story. A few days later, the ladies that I work with are domestic helpers. They come to Hong Kong to earn money to send back to their home countries to help educate their children and support their families. So they're considered not the top of the pile in Hong Kong. And this lady worked for a Chinese family, and she said, the grandmother of the family has been taken sick. She's in hospital, in a coma. Do you think Jesus can do for grandmother what he did for my father? And I said, well, what do you think? And she said, I think he can. And I said, I agree. So she asked if we would pray. And although we blessed her and we prayed, we asked for her to have an opportunity. Now she is 5 days old in her belief in Jesus. She has had no time to read the Bible. She's not gone to any healing seminars. She's not done a 40-day fast. She's done none of the things that we think, well, this will really strengthen my faith and then I'll know exactly how to do it to get Jesus' results. Nothing. The only thing she knows is God is real because he healed her father, and Jesus loves her because he died so that she could have new life. Do you know that is all she needed? That is all she needed. She goes to the hospital. The Chinese family are all gathered around grandmother's bed, as is their custom. And she goes up to grandmother's ear and she whispers and says, Jesus makes you well now. She didn't say, Heavenly Father, we invite you now, we beg you. She didn't even say amen. What do you think happened to grandmother? Grandmother opened her eyes. They cancelled the funeral arrangements. Now, I like to tell this testimony because it's not me, it's not her, it's Jesus. It's Jesus in us. And when we let him do what he loves to do, which is defeat the devil, which is free people from the oppression that is in this world, then we get blessed and they get blessed. And God gets all the glory. Amen. And isn't that what we want? Yeah. We want him to get all the glory. So I am encouraging you today. It's not who you are. It's not what you know. It's not how long you've known the Lord. It's not how much you've studied his word. Although those things, don't misunderstand me, those things are important. And they edify and strengthen us. And those of you that know me know I am a teacher. That is my gifting. So I am not saying that it's not important. But those things are not the things that will see your life and the lives of others changed. Because those are all additional things that enrich us, that feed us, that encourage us. But if you have only one thing, the one thing you need is a revelation of who Jesus is and how much he loves you. God loved the world in this way. He showed us by giving us a person. And he gave us Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, his only Son. You will never understand how much God loves you until you have a revelation of how much God loves Jesus. And I want to encourage you, in the next few days, take some time to meditate on that and ask the Father to give you a revelation of how much he loves Jesus. Why is that important? Because he was willing to give up Jesus for us. And when you recognize how much the Father loves the Son and then knows that he gave him for you, you have an amazing revelation of how much you are loved. And when you know you are loved by the one true living God, then all those things in this world that are difficult, that are hard, fade into the background, and you step into his presence in a way that you have not been able to do before, and you can say, nothing else matters, Lord, only you. Because you know that whatever circumstance, it doesn't matter whether it's loneliness, worry, bereavement, sickness, pain, anything you can describe, it doesn't matter. The circumstances will no longer get on top of you. You can step on top of the circumstances and change them. Because you know, I'm loved by God, and nothing else matters. Doesn't matter. If I don't get healed from the sickness, it doesn't matter. Because guess what? I get to see Jesus before you do. We've got to change our understanding. And I say that in full knowledge that my passion is for healing. But even if it doesn't happen, we're still winners. Right? You've got to change the way you look at things. Don't look at things the way the world looks at things. You've got to renew your mind. There are some things God will not do, and one of them is renew your mind, which is why Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now you do that by getting into his presence, by reading his word, by building your relationship with him, by spending time listening to him and speaking with him. But he won't renew your mind for you. That's your responsibility. But when you choose to do that, when you choose to put some effort in to your relationship with him, guess what? He blesses you even more. You reap the rewards even more. It's well worth it. I want to read a couple of scriptures. If you've got your Bible, 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue. He has given us all things. What does the word all mean? Does it exclude anything? Has he withheld anything? Are there any things in that verse that say, not until you mature, not until you've known me for 20 years, not until you've proved yourself worthy? No. He just says, if you have a relationship with me, I give it to you. Have it. Have it all. It's yours. Take it.
That's right.
We've got it, but we don't know we've got it. It's like being given a beautiful present that's wrapped up with a beautiful bow on the top and it sits on the coffee table and somebody says, who does that belong to? That's mine. That's mine. I was given that. It belongs to me. Oh, you know it's yours. Oh, yes, I know it's mine. Why haven't you opened it? Well, I know it's mine. I don't need to open it. I just know that it belongs to me. But you don't know what's inside it. You're not living in the benefit of everything that is within. Aren't we like that sometimes? We wander about with the gift of everlasting life within us. And we never open the box. We never take the bow off the top of it. We never dive into it and revel in it and swim in the oceans of love that are within it. We've got to grasp hold of everything. He says here, all, given. Given is in the past tense. He's given. If you have a relationship with him, he's given. He's given it. You don't ask him. You don't have to ask him for healing. He's given healing by breaking the body of Jesus Christ, by putting all sickness and infirmity on his body and saying, you don't have to have this anymore because he's taken it. In the same way that you don't have to have my wrath, you don't have to have my judgment for the sins you've committed because he's taken that so you can have forgiveness. There's a wonderful exchange, and Jesus takes the bad bit and we get the good bit. He takes all our rubbish. He takes all our pain and he says, you have my peace. And it's not peace like the world gives. It's a perfect peace. it's a peace that means even when your circumstances are really, really bad, you walk through them knowing you have the strength to endure because of Jesus. He has given us all things, everything necessary for what? For life. What kind of life does God give us? He says, I give you life in all its fullness. Everything necessary for that kind of life has already been given to us. And everything for godliness, everything to make us like God. Everything He is, we have. That changes my life. That changes me from someone who was limping through life, knowing I'm going to go to heaven when I die, and hopefully that'll be soon because I don't know how much more I can endure. That changed me, that transformed me into someone that said, Lord, take my life and use it. I want it to glorify you. Doesn't matter what I do, where I live, where I am, as long as it's your plan for me, I know it's the best for me, because I learnt to trust him. Sometimes we're afraid God's going to say something to us that we're not going to like. When you're a missionary, people say, oh, I couldn't do what you're doing. And I often look at people and think, I couldn't do what you're doing. But why? Why? Because I know this is my destiny, and you should know that what you're doing is your destiny. And if it's not, then change it. Then take that step right into what God is calling you to do. Because when you follow him, when you're on his path, it doesn't matter the difficulties, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter the circumstances. You know, everything is joy. Everything is joy, even the bad stuff, even the hard stuff. You know, living in another country, learning another language, being outside of your culture, all of those things, they're difficult. Yeah. I don't make light of it. It's not I fly float on a cloud every day and everything's perfect. But compared to Jesus, it's nothing. It really is. I'm not saying it to make it sound super spiritual. I'm being honest. I didn't always live in the place I am now, in all this fullness and all this freedom. I know what it is to walk in a different way. And what changed it for me was having my mind renewed by understanding what I've already got. And then letting what I have within my spirit be released so it affects me and the world around me. Got another scripture for you. Ephesians 3:20. It's one of my favourite scriptures. It talks about something very interesting. It talks about the power within us. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power in him. No. According to the power that works where?
Within us.
In us. He says, my power to do all of these things that I've just listed, it's not sitting in heaven somewhere, it's in you. Release it. Walk in the good of it. I often think when Paul, who wrote these words down, was having conversation with Holy Spirit, it's like Holy Spirit said to him, think of a really big word. And Paul said, okay, well, how about exceedingly? That's a good one. He said, okay, yeah, we'll have that one. Write that one down. What does exceedingly mean? It means beyond the limit. Exceedingly. More than enough. And Holy Spirit said, okay, think of another one. Paul says, what about abundantly. That's a good one. Exceedingly abundantly. And Holy Spirit said, yes, that's wonderful. How about abundantly? What does abundantly mean? It means if you're a cup, you're overflowing. There's never any lack. Exceedingly abundantly. And then Holy Spirit said, go on, you can think of something else. And Paul says, well, we've had exceedingly and we've had abundantly. Above? Great! Above! Holy Spirit says, go on, I'm encouraging you, go on, think again. Above all? Great! Write that one down too. So far we've had four adjectives, all of them big, exceedingly, abundantly, above all. There is a theme running through these words. It means there is no limit. Our God is the God of no limits when it comes to goodness, love, mercy, grace, faith. No limits, no limits, no limits. We're the only one who's only ones who limit God. He says, the power that this verse is describing, I've put inside you. You have it today, at this moment. It resides within you. I've done my part, now you do your part. Use it. Use it. It's a gift. I've given it to you. Go out and use it. Bless yourself. Bless other people. Use it. We walk around with it all tightly sewn up inside. In case if we use too much, we might not have enough left. No? God says, it's limitless. There's no limit to it. You can't wear it out. Use it up. The power that works within us. I'm encouraging you today to step into your inheritance, to recognize what he's given you and to use it, to recognize how much he loves you, to recognize that this life does not need to be a struggle. It's not meant to be. In the difficult times, we're the ones who are meant to know that God's grace is sufficient to carry us through. We're the very ones that should be succeeding when it is difficult. It's not to do with what we do. Our relationship with God is not to do with right doing. It's to do with right believing. It's not concerned with keeping a set of rules, how you behave, what you do, even how you think sometimes. It's about knowing that you believe the right thing. Because right believing will lead to right doing, and not the other way around. Every religion in the world, and I don't classify being a believer in Jesus as a religion, it's relationship. But every religion in the world, it doesn't matter what it is, they all have one thing in common. There is a set of rules. And if you abide by these set of rules, then you get this reward, whether that's a better reincarnation or going into the presence of Allah or whatever it is. But if you follow this set of rules, then this is the reward you get. Being a believer in Jesus is the only thing that says it's not about that at all. Turn it the other way. When you know me, when you understand about my love, then you will want to behave in the way that pleases me. I don't need to give you a set of rules. We are no longer under the law. We don't have to say, I must memorize the Ten Commandments to be a good Christian. We are now under grace. And grace is God's undeserved, unearned favor. Nothing you can do can make him give you more grace. He just gives it to you as a gift. So if we are under the rules, under the law, it makes us very conscious of ourselves. We become self-conscious. What am I doing? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? I shouldn't have said that. I should have done that. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. When we come under grace, it's all about God. God says, I will write my laws on your heart. Because we're in relationship now. And when you love somebody, you want to please them, don't you? If you really love somebody, you want to do things that you know will make them happy. When we really know that we're loved by God and we love him in return, we want to do the things that please him. It's not a chore to not break the commandments. It's how I want to live. Not because he says, and if you don't, there's a consequence. It's because I love him and he loves me. So I want to remind you, don't get into that kind of mentality. Keep within your love relationship. And when you're living in that grace, it gives you this huge freedom to be yourself. Because he made each one of us unique and different. And we all have that personality that he wants to use to bring glory to himself and to bless the world around us. So in conclusion, keep it simple. Don't complicate it. When he says take every thought captive in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, he really means it. We have the ability that when something comes into our head, we can either accept it or reject it. Well, if it's not in line with God's word, just reject it. Keep it simple. If you get up in the morning and have an emotion that is negative, that is not part of joy and peace, don't go with it. Part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. He's given you self-control. Don't go down the route of the soul and say, well, I don't feel like it, or I feel this way, and therefore I'm going to behave this way. Sometimes I wake up and I'm not a little beam of sunshine.
No.
Sorry, Tom, shattered your illusions. Sometimes I get up and I feel a bit discouraged, to be honest. But I've learnt that if I allow that discouragement to sit on me like a wet flannel, it's going to make me have a bad day. It's probably going to affect the people around me in a negative way. And it's certainly not going to glorify God. So I deliberately do something about it. And I speak out loud. And I take myself by the scruff of the neck and stand myself in front of the mirror. And I put my finger in my face and I say, you will not be discouraged, because discouragement is not from God. Now get rid of it now in Jesus' name. Take that thought captive, refuse that negative emotion, and stand in all the freedom of life that Jesus died to give you.
Amen.
Sometimes you've got to really speak to yourself and make sure that you hear what yourself is saying to you, because nobody else is going to do it for you. There's not always going to be somebody else that's going to help you and pull you out of the pit. You've got to learn to feed yourself. Feed yourself on God's word. Feed yourself on God's presence. And when you do that, guess what? You reap the rewards. Then, 10 minutes later, praise God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Be encouraged today. It's simple. God loves you with an everlasting love. That's what we said when we went to Thailand, surrounded by these beautiful girls. Some of them didn't know whether they were male or female. And what message did we have for them? I don't understand your lifestyle. I've never walked in your shoes. But what could we say to them? God loves you with an everlasting love. And do you know what? It broke their hearts, because nobody had ever said to them that somebody loves you without wanting something from you. In that time, over 70 of the girls got saved. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because we chose to go there partly, but partly because we were simply being an expression of his love. We didn't do anything amazing. We just went there and loved them in any way that we could and showed them that it wasn't about who they were, it was about who Jesus is. So that's what I want to encourage you in this coming week, whatever you are involved with, at work, at home, in your relationships, in your time with God, keep it simple and remember Jesus loves you. That's all you need to know. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.